Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Wild News is gone.
Two known collaborators go rogue. I'm John Schaefer, and coming up on Soundcheck, musician and producer M. Ward is half of the duo She and Him with Zooey Deschanel and a member of the supergroup Monsters of Folk. But he has a new solo album called A Wasteland Companion, and he'll play live. First,
and the marvelous clouds sail by, marvelous clouds aloft in the soft summer sky, marvelous clouds.
Aaron Freeman is best known as Gene Ween of the band Ween, but he has a new solo album too, composed entirely of songs by the best-selling 20th century poet and balladeer Rod McEwen. Plus, a visit from Soundcheck's very own intellectual property sleuth, the Copycat. All of that on Soundcheck after the news. It's the magic of podcasting. We're skipping the news, but I do want to encourage you to connect with us via social media. You'll get updates when we post new interviews, videos of in-studio performances, and I'll share more of my thoughts from the Soundcheck blog. You'll find us on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org, also on Facebook and on Twitter, at Soundcheck.
Girl, it's true.
A pop prankster embraces his softer side. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, Aaron Freeman, better known as Gene Ween of this alt-rock duo, Ween, cozies up to some soft rock. Meanwhile, singer-songwriter and producer M. Ward goes in the opposite direction. He's bringing an electric band to play songs from his new solo album. Plus, the Copycat returns to shed some light on recent copyright stories. But we begin on Soundcheck today with an unexpected turn from one of pop's most irreverent voices, Aaron Freeman. After more than 20 years making funny and often weird pop with his band Ween, Aaron's just released a solo album. But it's not just any solo album. It's a tribute to the poet and songwriter Rod McEwen. Joining us in the studio to tell us all about it is Gene Ween, or Aaron Freeman, or whoever you are. Welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you.
A little identity crisis going on
here? A little
here?
Identity crisis, and I had to work that one out.
Uh-huh.
But I'm proud to say I'm back to my birth name, Aaron Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Does this signal an end to Gene Ween, at least for a little while?
Yeah, I'd say so. Mm-hmm. It's been a while, and it's very nice to be me, as it were.
Now, here's the other thing. Yes, you're being you. You're back to Aaron Freeman, but you're not singing you. You're not singing Aaron Freeman. You're singing Rod McEwen. How did that happen?
I am. I think this was a perfect. First off, I'm a big fan of Rod McEwen. And to step away from Ween after all these years, and to do a solo project can be a little nerve-wracking. For this was a great opportunity for me to be able to use my voice, use my talent, and keep it. You know, you take the pressure away from doing my own stuff for now, mm-hmm. and just be a vocalist.
Right. So you knew then who Rod McEwen was, because, you know, there's a generation now that missed the 60s that doesn't.
To be honest, I only knew Seasons in the Sun. I heard Gene.
Uh-huh.
Other than
which
that,
was a
no.
big hit in 69.
Yeah,
For Oliver, not for Rod McEwen
right.
himself, but for the guy who did Good Morning Starshine. And, As Seasons in the Sun, although we know that as a Rod McEwen song, is actually his reworking of a Jacques Brel tune, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
It was.
So the guy had some hits back in the day. Do you feel like you're kind of introducing a new generation to this guy who was a hugely successful and popular poet as well as songwriter back in the day?
Yeah, I like to think I am. By doing this, I'm turning on a lot of fans, including myself at first, which mm-hmm. is what we were talking about. I'm in love with his music, his words, his poems, and it was an honor to be able to do this record.
We're speaking with Aaron Freeman, the former Gene Ween of the band Ween, and here he is, with lots of eens in this sentence, but we're going to hear Gene. This is a Rod McEwen song, and it is from the new album by Aaron Freeman called Marvelous Clouds.
And the clouds are so low,
You can touch them and so come out to the meadow. Jean, Jean, you're young and alive. Come out of your half dream, dream, and run, if you will, to the top of the hill. Open your arms, Bonnie Jean, till the sheep in the valley come home. I'll wait till the stars fall around me and find me alone. When the sun comes a-singing, I'll still be waiting for Jean.
That was a big hit for the singer Oliver back in 1969. It's Rod McEwen's song, Jean, and Aaron Freeman has now recorded it on his solo album called Marvelous Clouds. That's a very unaffected way of singing, almost as if you're singing for yourself. And
yeah, yeah, it really was. And that was what I wanted to do for this record, was just to keep it very simple and really explore my voice.
Mm-hmm. Keeping it simple, though, doesn't mean it was just like you and a guitar. I mean, we could already hear, you know, a little bit of a buildup of instrumentation on Jean, but elsewhere, you know, there's some fairly sizable forces being deployed here.
Yeah, well, we had a great band, and what we did was went in and recorded the band for a week, came home for a couple months, and then went back to L.A. and did my vocals for a week.
Mm-hmm. Now, Rod McEwen, in addition to being a poet and a songwriter, was also a classical composer. He was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize at one point.
Yes.
Did
yes.
film scores and symphonies and all that kind of stuff. So the rich kind of orchestral sound certainly fits.
Yeah.
However, you know, in the 60s and 70s, when he was at the top of his game, he was also like a critical pinata.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how else to put it. The critics did not like him.
Seems that way. That's what I'm putting together.
He was accused of, it wasn't just soft rock, it was limp, you know,
right.
It was like
right.
treacly and cheesy. I mean, what do you hear in it that those critics were missing?
Well, I think that you have to put that in the right time and place. I think you had Dylan coming out, you know, there was a lot to be compared to at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very familiar with criticism and blanket criticism at that. So I have a tendency to look past that.
Now, what has Ween been called that's so bad?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think you just started with it. Quirky pop.
There's nothing wrong with
crazy.
Quirky pop.
Yeah, sure, sure. Now, I like to think that if you read into it a little bit or if you really checked it out, you'd find, I mean, anybody does that. You can label something or flatly, mm-hmm. you know, put something to, but if you really check out the music, and in this case, if you really check out Rod McEwen's music, you're just going to find simple, poetic stuff that,
right.
that he really meant to write. And that's what I try to emulate when I'm doing music as well.
Now, he's still alive. He's been somewhat reclusive in recent years.
Yeah, he is.
What does he think of this?
Well, he loves it. Which
you met
was,
him?
I met him. Ben Vaughn, who produced the record, and I got to go to his house in Beverly Hills, and we spent about 2 hours with him. And he lives there with his Andy Warhol paintings and his Phyllis Diller sketches, who is one of his best friends, millions of records.
I'm told he has like one of the largest private record collections anywhere.
He does. He does. And they're everywhere. He lives there with his brother Edward and his cats. He's got this recording studio in the basement, and it's full of all of his master tapes. It's got everything he's ever done.
Hmm.
And so we came over there, and he was in the middle of just kind of pulling out tapes, and I think he'd been in the process of throwing them on the reel to try to remaster them.
Oh.
It was pretty amazing. And the most important thing was that he liked the record. And when I was making the record with Ben Vaughn, that was our first and foremost thing that we wanted to achieve.
That he would like it.
It was that Rod liked it. When Rod put it in his CD player, that he dug it. And he did.
Well, which doesn't necessarily mean that you were aping his own versions of his songs. And here's an interesting sort of comparison. Rod McEwen's original version of Love's Been Good to Me, actually wrote it for Frank Sinatra, but we'll hear Rod McEwen's version, and then Aaron Freeman's version from his new record called Marvelous Clouds.
Highways, never found home. Still and all I'm happy. The reason is, you see, once in a while, along the way, love's been good to me. The reason is, you see, once in a while, along the way, love's been good to me. There was a girl in Portland before the winter chill. We used to go a-courting along October Hill, and she could laugh away the dark clouds, cry away the snow. Seems like only yesterday, down the road I go.
Love's Been Good to Me, written by Rod McEwen, and we heard his original recording of it, followed by my guest Aaron Freeman and his version from the new album called Marvelous Clouds. Aaron Freeman, the former Gene Ween of the band Ween, is playing tonight at 92Y Tribeca, the club on Hudson Street near Canal. It is a sold-out performance, but Aaron's with us on soundcheck today. And speaking of Ween, you kind of had a very public meltdown on stage. I guess it was 2011, last year.
Yeah.
Where is this project in that timeline of you going into rehab and all of that?
On National Public Radio. yeah, so, well, I guess it came after that. And I would say that that's part of my story, is that that happened. And it was definitely a low point.
Mm-hmm.
It was at that point I realized that I wanted to do some extra something else, you know, anything. And and then it just so happened that I ran into Ben Vaughn when we were playing L.A. on that same tour, and we started talking about this and getting the seeds planted mm-hmm. for this project. And it was a great project for me to do at that time. So I guess it started around that time.
So is this, I mean, the making of this album, does it have something to do with a kind of change in lifestyle for you?
No, I don't think so. I would have made this record anyway. As far
would it have
as,
been as good?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. It's hard to tell, but, I mean, it came out great. And no matter what, I wouldn't let a record come out unless it was great. But as far as me being in recovery, yeah, it was time. You know, rock mm-hmm. and roll can be a tough life. And so I'm happy to be where I'm at right now.
And you're still in, I mean, you're still on the road. It may not be heavy duty rock and roll, but I mean, you're still in the game. So how do you take care of yourself when you're touring around?
You got to take a lot of precautions. There's things you can do. I did talk about at one point, they have a sober assistant that can come with you. A lot of people use those.
Uh-huh. It's just like a designated driver, except he or she is with you.
Exactly. And they come in and they kind of just shadow you the whole time. Wow. And if you want them to take you down, they will. If you don't, they won't. So, you know, there's lots of ways, but you'd be surprised at how many musicians, actors, whatever, use these people. And
a lot of these Rod McEwen songs, including a couple that you chose for this project, mm-hmm. they have that sense of, a guy looking back.
Yeah.
And maybe having a... unlike the famous Frank Sinatra song, Regrets, maybe more than I care to mention, and one of those songs seems to be the World I Used to Know. Did these songs resonate with you because of what you were going through at that time?
You know, honestly, they did. Yeah. There's a few moments. I didn't actually pick out the songs. Ben Vaughn did, who produced it. As I was listening to the songs, a lot of things resonated with me as to where I was at. So those things kind of told me that all was right in the universe to keep going here and do this project. That's how I take things like that. And there's a lot of things that run true.
This song is called The World I Used to Know. It's from the album Marvelous Clouds by Aaron Freeman.
And I have to move along, but till I do, I'll stay a while and track the hidden country of your smile. Because I'm just a man, you'll find my feet are made of sand. Until that time, I'll tell you lies and chalk the hidden boundaries of your eyes.
The World I Used to Know, another Rod McEwen song from the album Marvelous Clouds, the solo record by Aaron Freeman of the band Ween, who's with me on Soundcheck today and tonight playing at 92Y Tribeca, sold-out show here in Lower Manhattan. Normally, if I ask somebody, you know, what is the audience, what do your fans think, you know, they're guessing. They're getting simply anecdotal information. I can ask you this question because you've given out a phone number.
Yes.
609-542-0751. People call this number and do what?
Leave a message.
And basically they're telling you what they think of the new record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if they want to answer a question or ask a question, I may answer it.
Mm-hmm.
And
But now when people call this number, it's not like, hi. It's honestly, it's Aaron.
I'm not at liberty to say right now, actually, because I haven't called the number myself.
All right, so the number is 609-542-0751, and Aaron is encouraging people to leave messages about the album and whatever. And so what kind of feedback have you gotten so far?
Great feedback. As far as the fans of my music go, they're pretty open-minded. And they've always had.
They would have to be.
They would have to be. They've gone through a lot, and so I'm going to give my fans a lot of credit. And it's been welcomed with open arms so far.
Mm-hmm.
Great press.
And do you have, you know, longtime Ween fans, you know, worrying that, you know, does this mean the end of the band and all that kind of stuff?
Maybe they might be, but I don't really check.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm sure there's people, you know, wondering about that.
And
I'll leave you all in the dark.
All right. Aaron Freeman is with us on Soundcheck today. And so this is your first kind of official solo album, and it's all Rod McEwen songs. Will there be an actual Aaron Freeman album at some point?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm writing it as we speak. And this was great to get my name out there as Aaron Freeman. And it's a wonderful record I'm very proud of. And I look forward to doing an original solo record after this.
All right.
Yeah.
The former Gene Ween, he is Aaron Freeman, and using his given name, has released this album of Rod McEwen songs called Marvelous Clouds. It is out now. Aaron, a great pleasure to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
This is Soundcheck.
My mother, the swan, has left me and gone. My home's the banks of the stream. And the marvelous clouds sail by, marvelous clouds aloft in the soft summer sky, marvelous clouds.
Up next, complicated legal issues in the news got you confused? We turn to our copycat to make sense of recent copyright capers. And later, a live performance from singer, songwriter, and producer M. Ward and his band. This is Soundcheck.
Who claim I was born from a union of dust and wind. And when I came of age, well, I sailed away.
they say, there are 8 million stories in the Naked City. This is one of them. Sure, it's a crime story, but this one's kind of complicated. Intellectual property. That's right, baby. Copyright. Trademarks. What happens when the public domain gets a little too public? To explain it, you need someone who knows the law. To some, he's a mild-mannered attorney. But to us, he's the copycat. Oh, and it's been a busy week for the copycat. Drama about a Wrecking Crew documentary, one of the Village People winning back rights to some of his songs, and a popular hip-hop site wondering why they were shut down for a year. The copycat is John Reichman, partner at New York's Kenyon & Kenyon LLP, and, as always, Jonathan Reichman is pro-copyright. John, welcome back.
Thank you, John. How are you?
Good. So let's see if we can run through all these different stories. Let's start with Da Jazz One, hip-hop website, seized by the feds and shut down in November of 2010. What is going on? They've been put back and no charges filed.
Well, it's very interesting because the statutes are written to basically allow the government to step into court and seize property that they consider to be involved in copyright infringement, and to do it without involving the owner of whatever equipment or website is making use of the material and allowing them to come in and defend themselves. So the government deals with the court, gets a warrant, and gets to seize a website, take it down, seize the domain name, and does it pretty much, as far as the owner of the website is concerned, in the dark.
Mm. Now, in this case, the RIAA, the Recording Industries Association, said that Da Jazz One had at least 4 songs that were unauthorized links on their site. So that's at least 4 separate incidents of copyright infringement. They're claiming, the guy who runs the website, that those 4 songs were given to him by the artists or their representatives, and that they knew that he was going to be doing this, and it was seen as publicity.
Yes, it's very interesting, because what happened was the government initially went into court and got this seizure order and then kept getting it extended and extended. They kept having to run back to court saying, we don't have the proof to support it. Give us more time. Give us more time. Ultimately, they gave up. And what I suspect happened was that the owner of the website was correct, that he was getting links to these songs by either the artists or the producers who wanted to publicize it. So the RAA and the producers, the official producers, the record companies, couldn't come up with it because, you know, either unbeknownst to them or behind their backs, the website had been given the song by the artists.
And does that actually protect them, the website, that is, from legal action?
Oh, yes, yes. If the copyright owner gives you permission to do something, allows you to use the material, then you're licensed, then you're legitimate as far as the copyright law is concerned.
Right, but I'm thinking of, you know, a situation like you just said where maybe unbeknownst to the copyright owners, i.e. the record company, a producer of the song has slipped it to a website and said, here, you know, it's fine to link to it, it's going to be great publicity, don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's interesting, because if the person who gave the permission is involved in the song but is not the official copyright owner, then you're right. It's not licensed. It's not permissible. But I think what happened was these record companies, either for public relations purposes or in the interest of maintaining good relationships with the artists, felt that they couldn't, in effect, renege on what the artists had done. So they quietly decided to give up this case.
After over a year of having this website shut down.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, and, you know, the owner of the website is put, you're really, really in a horrible position. I read some of the blog commentary on this, and they're saying, well, does he have an action now against the government for being shut down, you know, without just cause for this extended period of time? I think it's conceivable. I think that there are plenty of lawyers out there who might be happy to take his case.
And we're talking about, you know, the 4 songs in question, some pretty big names: Chris Brown, Nelly, Jamie Foxx, and Reek DeVillain with this song called Mechanics.
It ain't nothing like hip-hop music. flash with my foot on the gas. As you can see, homie, I got it for the air. Pour the kettle, I don't want no bubble in my glass. Subtle but aggressive when I hustle for the cash. Then I use my muscle when I'm busy shuffling the trash.
Watch us win.
I got a couple in the stash, look. And if you gotta know, I got a hotter flow. We celebrating, mama, now I wanna spend a lot of dough. Harder niggas know they father gotta grow. Cause I spit it proper, children get the following up, bro.
Yes.
See, I only needed a minute to get them in it and getting them with it. Now they shaking their ears slow. Doing the dash, yo. Ladies hugging me and they running soon as they hear the banger hitting the dance flow. And if you ain't knowing by now, you can't stop it. And whoever need the antidote, you know it. You got it.
And I'm your mechanical.
Damn! This that thing right here, that music miss
me. So this song from Reek Devillian, called Mechanics, featured Busta Rhymes, and according to the website, The Jazz One, it was Busta Rhymes who gave them the song. To link on their website, one of the four songs that got them shut down for over a year. They've now been put back up without so much as a sorry about that by the industry. John Reichman is the copycat. He's a partner at Kenyon & Kenyon LLP, an intellectual property law firm here in New York, and he's the guy we go to when there are copyright issues that need to be unraveled. Victory for Victor Willis in the news this week. Victor Willis, the policeman, sometime naval officer from the Village People, regains partial ownership of some pretty big songs. This is something we've talked about before, John, the so-called
yes.
termination rights.
Yes, and this is something that the record companies had been fearing. They saw coming down the pike a long time ago. When the current copyright law was enacted in 1978, a provision was put in to allow copyright owners for the music industry, that's mainly the artists and the writers, to in effect cancel licenses that they had made after 35 years, in effect to give them a second bite of the apple and the mm-hmm. opportunity to renegotiate the deal on more favorable financial terms. The record companies had planned. This was a very interesting decision because the record companies had planned for years to rely on a doctrine called work for hire
mm-hmm.
to be able to say that the artists and the writers were working in effect as employees of the record companies. So therefore, it was the record companies that owned the work of their employees. In this case, it's interesting because the music company Scorpio Music dropped the work for hire argument and went on a much more tangential argument, that namely because Victor Willis was one of several writers, a group of them together had to terminate this old license, that he couldn't do it on his own, and the court completely rejected that argument and found in favor of Willis.
So Willis now owns the copyright to songs like YMCA and Macho Man and In the Navy. So this is potentially big news, not just for Victor Willis, but for there's going to be a whole series of artists whose songs can potentially be renegotiated copyright-wise, songs from the late 70s, early 80s, as we head on through the next couple of years.
That's right. That's right. I think we're going to see a whole slew of these cases. You know, when Congress wrote this provision, it was really weighted in favor of the individual creator
mm-hmm.
and against the company. And what this decision does, it totally backs up that philosophy of Congress on this front. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more cases coming down the pike. Eventually, one of the cases, the producer will continue to pursue this work-for-hire argument. And that's the one I think that copyright experts and people in the business are going to be watching the most closely to see what a court does with that type
yeah.
of
yeah, and whether a record company can say they were employees, but they weren't given health benefits or any of the stuff you usually give to employees.
Exactly, exactly.
All right, so John Reichman, the copycat, talking about copyright with us on Soundcheck, and the third of our big stories this week is The Wrecking Crew. This is the incredible backing band that recorded so many hit songs in the 1960s, and they're the subject of a documentary. The documentary cannot be commercially released because they can't afford to clear the rights for the songs that these musicians recorded. Still trying to raise $175,000 to clear rights for some songs. They were quoted by one record company a price of $2.5 million to clear
yes.
the songs that they wanted. Does this seem out of whack to you somehow, that a kind of a secondary work of art about these musicians is being sort of held hostage this way?
Yeah, it's kind of a unique confluence of factors here. I mean, in a typical documentary, you know, there might be one or two tracks that need to be cleared here, because the subject of the documentary is this group of musicians, and they were very prolific. They worked on so many different recordings that are owned by so many different companies. Given the volume of material involved in the documentary, yeah, you total it up. I could see it coming to that figure. What I think is interesting, though, is that, and the articles I read alluded to this, is that an argument could be made that it's fair use. You know,
right.
Copyright law always has an exception that even if you want to use something but you don't have permission, if you're using it for criticism, for commentary, you know, for some type of educational purpose, you don't need the permission because it's considered fair use. And I think that the filmmaker here could make that kind of argument, could say that I don't legally, technically need the permission because I'm making fair use of these recordings because they relate to the subject of the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've read, he's too nervous to rely on that.
And given what we started out talking about, where a whole website gets shut down by the record industry, you could see why he would be nervous.
Yep.
John Reichman, partner at Kenyon & Kenyon LLP, an intellectual property law firm here in New York. He is the copycat. And John, great speaking with you again.
Thank you, John. Take care.
This is Soundcheck. Henry Mancini's Pink Panther theme, just one example of the Wrecking Crew, that backing band, those session musicians at work. Up next, M. Ward. He's been a busy collaborator these last few years with the duo She and Him, the supergroup Monsters of Folk. Now he's returned to the solo life with a new album, A Wasteland Companion. He and his band play live next on Soundcheck.
Turns into a mockingbird. If I whistle in the dark, he'll do that too. I met him on the road at the close of day. He talked like me and walked this way.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The musician and producer Matt Ward is quite the collaborator. Under the name M. Ward, he's famously teamed up with actress and singer Zoe Deschanel for the duo She and Him, and with Bright Eyes frontman Connor Oberst and My Morning Jacket founder Jim James in the supergroup known as Monsters of Folk. His latest album is technically a return to his solo roots, but still features guest appearances from 17 other musicians. The album's called A Wasteland Companion, and M. Ward is here with some of those musicians to play some of it live for us today, beginning with a song called Watch the Show. It's M. Ward and band live on Soundcheck.
Say good morning to you all. At the sound of my voice through this microphone line, consider that your wake up call. My name is Billy R. Burroughs. I am not the man you think I am. Some mistake me for a famous writer. Some mistake me for another network man. I'm the guy who has just hijacked this channel. This telecast is now under my control. And now that I have your attention, let me tell you tales untold. I worked here at this TV station. In an editing room nobody's ever seen. Inserting laughter after every punchline. Gasping after every scream. But now I want you to give me back these years that I have wasted. Staring at these television screens. And now that I have your attention, let me show you what I mean. See, I remember back when I was in high school. Well, I never thought I'd stoop so low. I thought I'd be the guy unmasking the clown, not the guy out polishing his nose. So tomorrow on your way into work, we'll be wearing the emperor's clothes. So watch the show.
That is M. Ward live on Soundcheck with the band and the song called Watch the Show, which appears on his new solo record, A Wasteland Companion. M. Ward playing guitar and singing, Chris Scruggs playing guitar, and Mike Kirkendall playing the bass, Scott McPherson playing the drums. Matt, good to see you again.
Great to be back.
What a troubled little character study that is, Watch the Show.
So, I guess it kind of turned into one. Yeah. I guess it comes from a dream of this guy, and it turned into a song.
The album's called A Wasteland Companion. Is it, in fact, inspired by the T.S. Eliot poem?
That's the first time I heard that word, and I'm obviously, I love that poem. I think so. Yeah, the short answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. And the title, Wasteland Companion, could be taken a couple of ways. It's like the Shakespeare Companion, where it's like an explanation, a kind of exegesis of what's going on, or the companion, the friend, the guide who will get you through the wasteland.
Yeah, I seem to like titles that can be interpreted in many different ways, and that's the nice part about that. All of those words, really. But the last few records I've made seem to be about inspiration and where it comes from, and when it's not around, why isn't it there, and when it is around, what is it? Where does it come from? How can I get more of it?
Mm-hmm.
How come some people don't seem to have any? Et cetera, et cetera.
Does inspiration happen differently when you're in a collaborative situation, as you've been for so much of these recent albums, as opposed to doing it yourself?
I'm definitely inspired by what happens with, first takes, and what happens when you present a song to somebody for the first time, and getting those sorts of first reactions on tape is definitely inspiring. It says something about instinct, and I think half of every good production should be pre-programmed, but I think the other half should be just sort of created with what happens with the people that are in the room.
Yeah. Now, that suggests that inspiration can just kind of strike, and that it's a quick, sudden, unexpected thing. Can inspiration happen through a process, through, craft as opposed to art? I've got this song. It's not quite happening. I'm just going to keep working at it. And then, boom, you hit that point where it's...
Yeah, I think the initial inspiration is necessary for the composition side of things. But if you're producing a record, there needs to kind of just this be this, you know, hundreds of inspirations and synapses, I guess. When it does sort of dry up, you go back to the drawing board, and normally for me that means going back to the initial inspiration for whatever started the song.
Mm-hmm. So a dream in the case of that last song.
Yeah.
What about Crawl After You, the song you're going to do now?
That's inspired by a friend of mine who found out she was adopted at a late age, and it just sort of created this story. And that turned into a song.
All right. The album is called A Wasteland Companion by M. Ward. He and his band, by the way, are appearing on The Late Show with David Letterman on Friday night. They're also doing a sold-out show Friday night at Webster Hall, May 11th. But they'll be back in Brooklyn this summer to play at the Prospect Park Bandshell on August 7th. They're here with us in the Soundcheck studio. Let's hear this song called Crawl After You. And Matt will make his way to the piano for this one. So once again, live performance from M. Ward and his band on Soundcheck.
So strange to see you after all these years. So I cannot be depended on to lie here and casually watch as you go waltzing by. When I've been shook so bad that I cannot stand to you. Thank you.
That is M. Ward and his band live on Soundcheck. The song is called Crawl After You, and it appears on his new album, A Wasteland Companion, which is out now. And it is largely, as you might expect, a record of M. Ward's own songs. But, Matt, there is an exception, and that is a cover of the old song. It was a hit for Tony Martin in the early 50s called I Get Ideas. What drew you to this song?
I first heard it through Louis Armstrong, and I always loved the song, and I learned it on guitar, and it just seemed pregnant with possibilities. So I tried it with my band here, and we started playing it live for maybe a year or something, and it seemed to get an interesting reaction. So we just started playing it, and it seemed we needed to record it, and so we found this studio in Austin, Texas, and just
spur of the moment kind of thing.
Yeah, we tried it out and we liked it, and now it's on the record.
All right, the record again is called A Wasteland Companion. This was originally kind of a vaguely tango-esque Argentine song. Tony Martin had a big hit with strings and all of that. Louis Armstrong came along and jazzed it up a bit. And now it gets a little bit of kind of an old rock and roll flavor in this version, live in our studio from M. Ward.
When we're dancing and you're dangerously close to me, I get ideas. I get ideas. I wanna hold you so much closer than I dare to. I wanna scold you cause I care more than I care to. And when you touch me with the fire in every finger, I get ideas. Well, I get ideas. And after we have said goodnight, I kind of figured you'd get ideas too. Your eyes are always saying the things you're never saying. I think they could be saying that you could love me too. Oh, but that's the whole idea. It's true, that lovely idea that I am always in love. Dangerously close to me, I get ideas. Yeah, I get ideas. I wanna hold you so much closer than I dare to. I wanna scold you cause I care more than I care to. And when you touch me with the fire in every finger, I get ideas. Yeah, I get ideas. And after we have said goodnight and then you linger, I kinda figure you'd get ideas too. Your eyes are always saying things you'll never say. I think they could be saying that you could love me too. Oh, but that's the whole idea. It's true, that lovely idea that I am falling in love. That I am falling in love. That I am falling in love with you.
I Get Ideas. That is M. Ward's arrangement of a song made famous by Tony Martin in the early 50s and covered by Louis Armstrong, among others. And I Get Ideas is one of the songs on A Wasteland Companion, the newest from M. Ward, who with his band has been playing for us here in the studio. Their show Friday at Webster Hall is sold out, but you can see the band on The Late Show with David Letterman Friday night, and they'll be back August 7th at Celebrate Brooklyn in Prospect Park. Matt, always great to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks a lot.
That's going to do it for Soundcheck today. On our program tomorrow, John Peel's Record Vault. We'll hear about the late BBC radio host's famously massive collection and its new home online. Plus, Lee Rinaldo, the longtime guitarist from Sonic Youth. He recently released a solo album, and he'll join us with his band for a live performance tomorrow on Soundcheck. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. The program is produced by Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn with Margaret Bresnahan. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.
And if joy, and if your joy, to feel the strength of your kiss against my lips. Yes, joy, honey, pure joy. Ain't no other way to say just what this feeling is. Pure joy, pure joy.